Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
The greatest midweek NRL podcast in the game. Liam Flanagan here, MG. How are you, sir?
I am bloody awesome. I'm got a bit of FOMO because I know you and Charlie were both up there for Magic Round, so I've got a bit of FOMO for that. Last year we had such a good time together, especially the trivia night, which we won. No one cheated.
We've been banned from Felons Brewery trivia night forever because your mate, Toby, MG, blatantly, the question was, to the nearest second, how long does the Violent Femmes Blister in the Sun song go for? Now, you, producer Charlie and I, giggled because that used to be our get out of jail song when been jabbering on too long on the radio show.
Yep.
And
they call it, for those who are not in the radio industry, they call it a filler.
A filler song because it goes for about 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
That's it.
And we all laugh. We're like, how good's this? We know the answer. And then your mate Toby gets caught out cheating because his song, in the silent room of 100 people, all of a sudden his phone starts playing Blister in the Sun.
What a weekend. What a weekend. I was security guard at one place. Oh. I was letting people in. I was saying, show me your COVID, mate. You showed me vaccination status.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, but look, epic Magic Round, as per usual. Didn't let down from the opening game, Newcastle beating the Doggies 16-6, and to the final game, the Cowboys stepping their authority with five in a row again over the Tigers. Cowboys, man, aren't they on a bit of a roll? Whoever said they were going to come last is an idiot.
Ben Teo.
Mark Geyer.
And most of the NRL pundits. Let's do your plays of the week. We've got a round to reflect on. Let's get stuck into your plays of the week.
Let's go.
MG.
That is massive.
Plays of the week.
Well, this week, if you will, I've gone outside the square. I usually have three things that have caught my eye, but I couldn't stop at three. This week, there was four. And Charlie, I'm not sure what order you want to play these in, but as per the running sheet, let's start with Reuben Cotter.
Cotter's up over the halfway line. He's got Dearden lurking.
Oh, he's been run. What a try by Reuben Cotter. I reckon he's got 90 metres. No, he hasn't. He's got 50 metres, and he's done it all himself. Get that man an orange jersey, boys.
Wow. Dobbo, beautiful. Love your excitement, my man. And then look, this kid has come from nowhere, Reuben Cotter. He's 90 kilos. He's 5'9". He has got a mullet. He's 23 years of age. He plays front row, and he scores 50 metre tries and plays 80 minutes. The kid's a freak. He must be getting close to, I don't think he'll make the first Origin team for Queensland, but he must be getting close to being at least in the conversation because he's been playing like that every week, and he's part of the magnificent Cowboys resurgence.
Dobbo has him in his Queensland side.
Yeah,
as him as the bolter for game one. So something to keep an eye out
for. You know
what?
He will add energy to the contest. Oh, so,
of course he will. Yep.
Number two.
And then we go across from Bird to Hunt. Hunt gets it away to DeBell. And big Tino for Suomala. Are we? He's going to need a Becks and a good lie down after that because he hit him with everything.
So I think that why I highlighted this, for mine anyway, I think there's been a line in the sand drawn by the Titans. And Tino, as captain, as the enforcer of that team, said, "I've got to start our comeback. I've got to start our fight back from where we are." And that hit on DeBellin, he come out of the line by about 5 meters on his own and just put the biggest hit on. That set the trend for the whole game. Once Tino did that hit, I think that was kind of, in my opinion, that was what set them alight. Jaden Campbell, at fullback, obviously having him back is magnificent. But Tino's hit there in the opening set of six, the Dragons had the ball, that set the tempo of the game.
Very nice. I get to the Titans, unsurprisingly, are in my bold prediction for round 11, but we'll get to that later.
Holmes goes on to Tuolungi.
Oh, hang on.
I don't know. There could be a try here. I thought he put a foot into a touch. Drinkwater's claiming the try. They're going to point to the spot.
Wow.
What about the pass from Murray Tuolungi to Drinkwater?
In the last 5 years, we seem to have said on this on the rush hour, we're on that, and now we're saying it seems to be weekly. That's the pass of the year. That's the best pass I've ever seen. Murray Tuolagi's pass. Last year it was Bo Firma who did something similar. Just for a back rower, the pass was unbelievable. But this pass from Murray was just you shake your head. I'm still shaking my head thinking about it. And he, talk about boulders for Queensland. There's one there for you. Mm. He played in the junior system for the Queenslanders. So, man, hasn't Billy Slater and Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston now got an abundance of young talent to pick from that it's going to serve himself for years? Now that the Cowboys and the Broncos are going so well and the Titans bounce back to form, Billy's there rubbing his hands together.
I will say this about that pass. Murray's unlucky that it was in a Sunday afternoon game against the Tigers, because I think occasion matters for these passes. Yeah, and obviously Benji in a grand final. That, because it was in a grand final, that may never be beaten. GI's over the head pass in the Test match. Centenary Test match to Gaz. Because of the occasion, will never be forgotten. But if Murray is throws that pass in maybe a Friday night game or a final, we talk about that on a whole nother level. I think because it's on a Sunday afternoon game against the West Tigers, it's going to get forgotten a little bit. But it was remarkable.
Yeah, great point. I take your point on board. I think imagine that was an Origin game. He's made his Origin debut and he's thrown that for a winning try in Origin.
Tarek Sims didn't. I didn't know Tarek Sims could throw these passes in Origin. That was an Origin pass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Same thing. You know, Tarek, if he throws that for the Dragons on a Sunday afternoon against the Raiders, we don't talk about it. But because it was an Origin pass, we'll never forget it. Same with Mitchell Pearce's Harbour Bridge out to Fergo. My point is, the occasion matters when they throw these things.
And lastly, if you will, my fourth, and I think this kid basically came alive and pronounced himself to the world of rugby league with this performance. I think he ran 16 times, 193 metres. He broke seven tackles, and he's an 18-year-old called Joseph Suwali.
Here comes Suwali! Oh, wow. Here comes Joseph Suwali! It just gets better and better!
It was so reminiscent to Israel Folau. It was so reminiscent how he got up there. His whole body was basically on the shoulders of the winger he was opposed to. It was an amazing take. The athleticism of this kid is unbelievable. What he's starting to do now, but he's starting to go and look for the contest. He's starting to look for the contact. He's starting to look for the fight. And that's something you can't teach a kid. That's something he's got to learn that himself. And he's learned it. He's learned that in the last year. He's taking his headgear off and he's saying, come on, I'm ready. At 18, his future
he's
is
18.
So scary.
That's 18. The other part. We keep, like, people are going to, now, if he rolls out there this weekend and not as a stinker, but just goes, okay, let's just accept it. He's 18. This is so exciting for the game of rugby league, this kid.
Yeah, well said.
Now, I have a moment that mattered from the weekend, MG, or plays of the week.
Please do.
Producer Charlie, I think you know the piece of audio I'd like to hear.
Yes, I do.
So talk us through it, Charlie.
Let's play the audio first.
Okay, let's go.
The Monday Scrum.
Yes, welcome to the Monday Scrum. We've got no Benji Marshall, no Emma Lawrence today. They've all had big magic round weekends. But we've still got the greatest journalist in the NRL, Brent Reid. Reedy, how are you, mate?
Charlie, good man. Stepping into the hot seat.
I have, mate.
Control this segment and this bloke beside me.
I know. Welcome in. Aaron Woods, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks for having me. Stop it. Just big shoes to fill with Benji Marshall and Emma Lawrence not here at the moment.
Producer Charlie making his hosting debut on the Monday Scrum.
I did, mate. So it was thrown on me last minute. Emma Lawrence sadly missed her flight. And Reedy was meant to tell me that Emma missed her flight, and Reedy forgot to tell me. So it's just before we were getting to record, Reedy gives me a call and says, "Oh mate, I was meant to tell you, Emma's missed her flight." And I was like, "Oh okay." He's like, "Well, what are we gonna do?" And I'm like, "Oh, you could have let me know a couple of hours ago. I guess I'll have to jump in and host." And I mean, the ratings were amazing from what I've heard.
Yeah, killed it.
You know,
and you know what?
If people haven't heard it, go and check it out. The Monday Scrum, great podcast.
Yeah, and don't ever listen to yourself back. That's the you don't sound like I never do. I never listen to anything I've ever done because I'd sound like a wank. That's not my voice.
Yeah,
you sound great now, though, MG. That's different.
As good as Reedy is at breaking stories, he couldn't host a cocktail party. Like he can't host.
No.
He breaks news stories, but he can't
Charlie,
host. So
well
you did
done.
A great job,
Gee,
there,
look,
Charlie.
What about our little brethren here? We've got Charlie hosting the scrum. You've got me on morning breakfast. You've got Liam on the Sunday sin bin.
Yeah.
Just a quick heads up to anybody wanting to relaunch the footy show. Here's your new panel. That's all I'll say. Charlie, one air check note, mate.
Yes.
Introduce. Tell us who you are. You're a brand new voice to the community. I mean, the Rush Hour family knows who you are, but the broader NRL, Triple M NRL family doesn't know who you are. The first thing you should... That's a bit of me time there, Charlie White. This is where you come off the top. You say the Monday scrum, my name's Charlie White. And then, you know, it's all the shine. You put out your Instagram handles, you get the followers up, and the brand just flies from there, mate. That's the next week.
I think your call sign should be, I'm Charlie White, and things feel real right.
I did get one comment that I look like Tamari Martin. So, you know, that's a compliment.
Take that. Anyway, it was very nice work, Charlie, and I did want to give that bloody some shine because are the glue that holds Triple M NRL together. So I love that you're actually jumping in and filling in as the host now. Now, big story of the week, of course, rest in peace to my preseason bold prediction that we wouldn't see a coach fired, sacked, resigned. The point is Trent Barrett has parted ways with the Bulldogs. MG, what was your thoughts when this all went down?
Look, disappointed. Disappointment was my first port of call because that was the first emotion that came towards me. But I think, Liam, the game against the Raiders down there was pivotal. They kind of, after they beat the Roosters, they would have looked at the draw and said, okay, we've got the Raiders, then we've got the Knights. They're both around where we are, and I think we can beat both them teams. And if they did, Trent Barrett's still in the job. But I would have imagined they've had the chat. And going down to the Newcastle Knights, who, you know, couldn't have had a worse start to their season, 16 points to 6. That was kind of the nail in the coffin, I think, for Trent. I understand both parties. I wasn't prepared for the collateral damage that was about to happen once that decision was made. Before we get on to who I think should take the job...
Yeah, we've got a couple of different pathways we got to take this.
But seeing Naden straight away go, no, I'm out. I'm going the Tigers. He's playing against the Dogs this Friday night. That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Pangai Jr. straight away linked to the Dolphins because he went there because Barrett was there. Jack Hetherington, see you later. Go look for another club, which I don't understand that one. I don't understand because for mine, he has Bulldog DNA in him. He's got that mongrel type of player in him. So I thought he was coming good before his injury. I thought he was starting to really, you know, fall in the line as far as, you know, hiding his discipline where it most mattered, and that's when he tackles and when he runs. So, it's Paul Vaughan, Super League, he'll be going there. Apparently Wigan, Rudy told us this morning on the Brekkie show that he's linked to them. Dufty, likewise, one of the teams over there, St Helens or Castleford.
Warrington, I think that is.
Warrington, yeah, thank you, Charlie. So, look, the collateral damage has started. I suppose now, Liam, the big question is Matt Burton. Matt Burton... I think there's only one, and we'll get to that now, I think there's only one potential coach, who could keep Matt Burton at the Bulldogs.
Who is it?
It's Brad Fittler.
Gee.
It's Brad Fittler. I think with his pulling power, look, he's proved he's successful at Origin. He's done that. He's won series after series since he started in 2017. Now, after being coach of the Roosters, I think, in 2009, if memory serves, for about 11 games, he's got the taste of it, and I think now the next challenge is to go into a rugby league team with his famous mentor. And I think likewise, I don't think Gus could really handle any other coach. I think with Freddie, it's more of a son-father relationship that he would be a little bit easier on Freddie than he would be on, say, a Flanagan or a Green or, you know, I just think that I think they mix well. As far as Freddie's pulling power goes, so this is what I'd do if I was Bulldogs. I'd be paying him $1 million a year. Because of who he is, because of his pulling power.
So this is let's set this up. This is the Brad Fittler package. I want to talk about the other options because there are other coaching options, but let's look at this as the Brad Fittler package, what the Bulldogs need to do and what Brad can bring to that club if this were to eventuate.
Okay, so the first of all, you offer him $1 million a year. Any coaches, and look, for a guy, you say, why a million? Why give him $1 million? He's up there with the Bellamy's and the Bennett's. Well, he's so successful at Origin, which in turn gives him any player that he really wants from the New South Wales series that he's coached over the last 5 years that would play under him at the Dogs. So straight away you've got that line of contact from Origin to Clubland, from Origin. Secondly, I think he's learnt so much since he was last a coach. I think he might have been late 30s, maybe 35, 36 when he coached. He's 50 years of age now. And I think he's ready for the challenge. I just think it's time is nigh. I think Gus is a fantastic operator, and he's really good at doing what he does. But unfortunately, he doesn't give coaches under him a long time of process. That he doesn't give them the time to find their own. You know, look at Griffin. He was coming fourth with Penrith when he got the arse. I mean, it's you just never safe with Gus there in the modern game. The only person who would be Freddie.
He was 35 when he took the coaching job at the Roosters.
35, so that's 15 years ago. And how much he's learnt in that period of time. You know, he's everything's improved. His commentary is out of this world. His presentation is out of this world. And he's coaching at the highest level at Origin is out of this world.
And you could argue that there is aside from the, you know, the big three of Bellamy, Robinson and Bennett, there's probably no one else with a better relationship with current players than Brad Fittler. New South Wales-based ones, obviously, but also I think his sideline work for Channel 9 plays a part in it.
There's a great point. I just think that I think any other coach would be too expendable. I don't think Gus.
Let's explore let's those summarize. For a moment. Let's do a little bit of Bulldogs choose your own coaching adventure here. We know the Freddie Avenue is there, but let's wander down some other coaching streets. You've got the proven premiership performer street, which leads to either Shane Flanagan or Paul Green. Both have won comps. Both knows what it takes to get there. Some might say that, you know, almost Madge McGuire-esque, that they burnt out their relationships at their clubs or their teams in order to get to that premiership in different manners. But there are two experienced coaches who've won comps available in the open market at the moment.
And I think of as an outsider looking in, them two are the favourites for the spot. Them two would be the most likely to take over from Mick Potter, who is the caretaker coach for this year. Like, what if Mick Potter wins 8 games in a row? What happens? Everything's. I know he won't, but I'm just saying it could happen.
You're sure?
Yeah, but look, them two are at the top of the tree. You got Serrato, who's already said no.
This is the other pathway I wanted to ask you about, the first time coach, because Cam Serrato and Josh Hannay is the other one that I think people probably haven't discussed
John Morris.
Enough. We know he took over as an interim last year from John Morris. You know what? I went to look up. When was the last time a coach got sacked earlier in the season than Trent Barrett has? It happened last year. Josh Morris got sacked after round 5 last year. So, so next year I think we can expect to see someone go in round 3. But Cam Serrato has come out and said he doesn't want the gig.
Yep.
Do you think a first-time coach, spectre of Gus looming over,
you wouldn't be able to find your own identity.
Right, okay.
And that's just the way it is. Gus is larger than life in so many ways. He's, you know, he's got the brain of, you know, he's won competitions when he was 28 years of age. He won a comp with the Bulldogs. Mm.
Yeah.
32 when he won it with us in 91. So the guy is just, you know, obviously
he's
Gus
one of the all-time brains of the game.
I think he's in the top three. He's in the top three of the best brains that have ever, you know, spoken about our game.
So let's just to put a ribbon on the Bulldogs coaching future. If you were in charge, you'd be backing up the truck for Freddie and making that work because you believe that's the best case scenario.
I truly do. Not because he's an ex teammate.
No.
Not because he's a mate. I truly believe it. I think that he's the player. Well, he's the coach that would get the players. He'd get Matt Burton to stay straight away.
Of course,
he wouldn't be putting himself up for. He wouldn't even put himself up for sale on the 30th, the 1st of November this year. He wouldn't do that.
You could argue you'd get the best out of Fox as well.
Kickow's coming.
Kickow's on his way.
Coming.
Reed so Marnie. Yeah,
The coaching appointment for the Dogs is paramount in anything. Okay. It will decide the next 3 or 4 years of their existence, how they go.
If they don't get Freddie?
You got to probably think that it'll be Flanagan.
Okay. Which then presents another set of issues as to the coaching Kyle conundrum.
Well, he's gone on record as saying he's been asked by one of the News Limited journos that what would you do if, you know, your son's there and he's in ordinary form. He said, I'll pick the best number 7. He said, and that's my job to do that.
Yeah.
So I believe him.
I just want to, before we move on from the Bulldogs, I quickly want to touch on Trent Barrett. I did some research, MG, and full disclosure, it's like when people talk about companies that they've got investments in. I am a shareholder of this business. I like Trent Barrett. I really do.
Every
time I've dealt with him, he is nothing but a gentleman, nothing but candid, nothing but honest. And I look at his record. he's only 35 games coach, only the 5 wins, or 34 games coach, 5 wins, 29 losses. But I look back, I want to talk about a what if moment for Trent Barrett's senior coaching career, head coaching career. 2017, in charge of Manly, they finished 6th on the ladder. First final, semi-final, they're taking on the Panthers. It's 10-all, there's 6 minutes left. And do you remember Tyrone Peachey scored that controversial knock-on try where Daly Cherry Evans came out and said, I'll swear black and blue for the rest of my life that it hit his arm.
Yep.
And they had two tries taken, Manly had two tries taken off them by the video review system in that game as well. Now, history's done. What happened has happened. But if that goes another way, Trent Barrett might still be the coach of Manly. Trent Barrett could be, who knows? Like, because if they get into the second week of finals, if he takes them to the second week of finals, I don't see him leaving at the end of 2018.
No, well, who knows? Like, it's a very good, nice work from the homework you've done as well, because that's David Middleton-esque. You bring that stuff up from anywhere. Oh, Jesus Christ.
But
that's beautiful.
I love it.
But a lot of people forget that.
The rave reviews every single Panthers player gave Trent Barrett over the last two seasons, in 2020, about what the work that Baz did for them on their attacking.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't someone who had a bad word to say.
Personally, I think his role is exactly what he did at Penrith. I think going forward, I think he's a perfect assistant coach. I think he's perfect to work out with all the young kids coming through the pathway systems in the halves or in the spine. I think he's kind of a guy who's really got to concentrate on one area of the game. I think that's what's going to happen with him going forward. He would never be out of work because the things you just said, he's a great bloke. He's a very good, he translates exactly what he means well to the players. Jerome Luai, as you mentioned, and Nathan Cleary couldn't speak more highly of a man in rugby league than last couple of seasons with Barrett. So, especially the year they got beaten the grand final, which is basically he was their attacking coach. So, but I feel for him. We never like to see someone lose their job. But I believe it's a pretty good handshake to walk away and basically, you know, have full disclosure about what he did kept from the media.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. I don't want to see dirty laundry aired. Nah. And if it's going to mean Trent Barrett gets a bit more money in his pocket, so be it.
Yeah. And worst case scenario for Baz, he walks in the front door of Lowe's and Lowe's says, see you later to Paul Sirenin, and he becomes the face of that brand. You see him on shop fronts everywhere.
He's never going to be out of work because he's a handsome bloke. He can speak well. He might be a good commentator.
All right. Well, keep an eye out. Okay. This has dominated because it is the big story in rugby league at the moment. Quickly, because I know we've got your Origin team. I just want to float this one out there. I just want to float it out there like a little Nathan Cleary speculative kick to the corner. Can the Broncos win the comp?
Yes, they can shock the rugby league world. Put it that way.
They take on the Knights tomorrow night. Which they'll be favourites for, rightfully so. If results go their way, they could be sitting fourth after this weekend. And it feels like a club that is riding a wave of momentum at the moment, an Adam Reynolds-driven wave of momentum, sure. But there's only Payne Haas as a young man. Carrigan is on the up and up. Herbie Farmworth, Selwyn Cobbo. Katoni Staggs. There is just so much to like, and all the graphs, all the trends are pointing up at the moment for a lot of these players. But we won't say they win the comp, but what do you think is the new pass mark for the Broncos this year?
Top eight.
You still have eight playing finals? Yep.
They've got to make the finals. Look, I worry that if something happens to Reynolds, their season's gone.
Yep.
And that's, when you look at the depth of a club, say if Nathan Cleary went, similar but not as bad. Jerome Hughes, well, we saw Melbourne last week without him. 32 points to 6, they got spanked.
Yeah.
He's so valuable to that team that we don't realise. So Reynolds is very much the same at the Broncos. Their last 4 weeks, Liam, there hasn't been a bad player in their 17. The 4 wins they've had, they've got guys coming off the bench in Corey Pake, Hetherington. I love how he plays, Kobe Hetherington. He's the new Jake Trbojevic. Thomas Flegler, he's offloads and his pizzazz and enthusiasm is infectious. And Palacia off the bench as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you're as strong as your bench is in a competition. And this bench that they've got at the moment is ultra competitive and ultra strong. So the peripheral guys on the who are playing, Tyson Gamble, he's an ear competitor. Billy Waters at dummy half has been fantastic. He goes the first 25 minutes and comes on and goes off for pakes. And yeah, look, it's scary where their ceiling is. I would say to them, dare to dream. Dare to dream, because this competition's yours to take if you really want it. It's Penrith and Melbourne. Well, this Melbourne, I'm never going to write them off. I would never write them off. But all this uncertainty about Munster is going to come to a crux somewhere along the line.
Yeah, Billy Ake's going to get jack of it if it starts. And if it's still undecided when you get to the pointy end of the season.
Yeah, I think so, Liam. I don't think you can keep the conjecture going along. And every time he has a good game, you know, it's another 50 grand on top of his money. And then he has a bad game. Well, no one talks about his contract, but the Storm are. So, but look, the Cowboys and the Broncos have been the two teams this year who have shocked most.
Yeah.
Parramatta and the Sharks have every second week. They've got to find their consistency, both them two teams. But the Broncos the Broncos and the Cowboys for mine at the moment are the two teams I love watching most.
I tell you what, if you're Andrew Abdo right now looking at the ladder, like, and he will have no favourites, obviously, although I think he technically is a Manly supporter being from the Inchinella Peninsula. But you look at it, you got a Western Sydney team sitting top, you got an interstate team in a niche market in second place, you got a Queensland team in third, you got a Sydney Eastern Suburbs team in fourth, then you got a sort of a suburban team in fifth, and then you got another Western Sydney, and then a Queensland. Like, it's a nice spread at the moment in that
couldn't
top
be
eight.
It's a
really, really nice spread. Of course, you know, the Raiders fans will say, well, why don't you want? Anyway, we want to see all teams go well, but I like the spread of the top eight at the moment. We've been flirting with this for a while. I think we're about 2 weeks away from the teams actually being named.
Yep.
MG's full New South Wales, game one side, 1-17. Give it to us, please.
Okay, I've got Tedesco, captain fullback, on the wings, Addo Carr and Brian To'o. In the centres, Stephen Crichton will make his debut with Tommy Turbo. The halves will be Penrith halves, Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary. Up front, we've got Junior Paulo and Payne Haas with Damien Cook at dummy half. In the back row, to strengthen that left-hand side even a little bit more, will be Liam Martin on the left side, along with his teammates, Crichton, Luai and To'o. And the other second row will be Tarek Sims. The lock forward will be Isaiah Yeo. And on the bench, we have Whiten, Angus Crichton, Regan Campbell-Gillard, and Jake Trbojevic.
I like it. There's actually not as many surprises as some people might have thought, which probably is testament to the fact that New South Wales are flying. The two ones that have jumped out to me there, you've opted for Critter over Katoni Staggs in the centres.
Yep. I just think for the first game, as little disruption as possible is needed.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got a whole rugby league team that can offer you the left-hand side of the field, you take it.
Okay.
You take it. You've got Luai to Martin to Crichton to To'o on that left side. It's a no-brainer.
Tarek Sims.
Yeah, well, he's been there and done it. And Frizzell's form hasn't been, you know, the only other guy I can think of is him, Tyson Frizzell, who might be in there because of Freddie's bit of loyalty from Freddie, but I wouldn't mind that either. I just think that Tarek is origin. He is origin. He's that guy who, no matter how his club form is, which has been strong without being spectacular. Mm-hmm. Next year he'll have a big year with Melbourne. You bet your bottom dollar, but he won't let anyone down in the back row. And Angus Crichton, I think, has been playing okay, but again, he's been there and done it. Campbell Gillard's form's been awesome, and Jake Trbojevic, he's the guy who, you know, you feel safe when he's in your team because he can come on, he can play front row, he can play lock, and he's going to hit. Like, no, there's no tomorrow. Imagine him coming on after 25 minutes and cutting blokes in halves.
No.
So yeah, that's my 17, and I'll be
like
very
it.
Close.
I like
I'll
it. Is there to question without notice? Have you got a bolter that you think might be given a bit of squad time that, as Freddie likes to do, a bit of exposure to the New South Wales camp potentially? While you think on that, let
Hines.
Me share a story with.
Yeah, it'll be Nico.
Nico Hines. Right. Okay.
We'll be 18th man or Tony Staggs.
I know he's had that nasty concussion, but Dale Finucane is the other one that I don't see within your 17.
No.
Can't get there?
Because of that. That's his second major.
He's done his MCL as well, boys.
He's done his MCL. So he's gone. Victor Radley's done his syndesmosis. He's out. So he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. So basically this team picks itself. Cameron Murray's out. You know, they're three guys who, well, at least two guys would probably have been close to making the team. But no, they're
I worry that Victor Radley's going to become Luke Keary. This bloke who round one is a lock for State of Origin, and yet something happens and we never see him play. Like, it feels like it's heading that way. Quickly, a couple of things there. Reminder to the Rush Hour family who will have heard this story before, but no wonder MG's picking Tarek Sims, who famously, at the Perth State of Origin, the first game ever played in Perth, went up to Brandy pre-game and said, you were presenting the jerseys to the Blues team.
And I gave him a bit of a pump up before.
You gave him a bit of a rev up when you did the presentation. And Tarek's gone up to Brandy afterwards and said, I'm going to go out there and play like MG. And Brandy said, please don't get sent off.
Please don't. Yeah, and I look at he encapsulates what it is.
I love him. I think it is one of my favourite regular season moments that I've in the last 5 or so years when he and Connie Harrell just went head to head that day.
They called each other out. He's coming back.
Connie's on his way back. I love it.
Back to the Dolphins,
They just called each other out and ran at each other, and it was brilliant. Hey, quickly, a couple of hypotheticals that I gave to the Sunday Sinbin crew on the weekend. If I gave you a choice, Cam Munster or Jerome Luai as your 5-8?
For Australia?
Yep.
Cam Munster.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they went with as well. What he did against the Storm the other night was, Jerome Luai was unbelievable.
He's had a quiet year by his standards. I think he's just warming up, Jerome.
Quickly, the other one I put, if Nathan Cleary, God forbid, knock on all the wood you can find.
Yep.
He suffers an injury that Adam kept Reynolds. Him out of State of Origin. There you go.
But I think Freddie would go for Moses.
So you'd go Adam Reynolds, but you think Freddie would pick Mitchell? Because that's what he did in Game 3 last year.
Yep.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Right, we need to get onto the tips. I like that. We might get Digital Tony to whip that up into a tile and people can comment on Triple M NRL socials. Righto, let's rip into some predictions. Throw out your bold predictions for the round when we get to them, MG. Round 11, it kicks off Thursday night, McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights taking on the Broncos. The pressure is relieved somewhat on Adam O'Brien with the win from the Bulldogs, but now they come up against the Bronx.
Yeah, but they do have Gagai and Frizzell back, who are
and
out
Milford
last
to
week.
Make his debut
and,
for the club.
And Milford, so it's a big in them three players. I think the Knights will. I think they'll stop the roll. I think they're the ones who, and against all odds, 2 weeks ago, I think that taste of victory in Magic Round against the Dogs is just what they needed. I think Ponga's, he was probing and looked enthusiastic in front of their home crowd, who they owe big time for 4 or 5 performances that they want to forget. I think they'll be out to atone, and it'll be a tight one. I think it's going to be a very tight game, but I think Knights just.
I'm going to go with your bench theory, MG, that you're only as strong as your bench. And when I look at Crossland, Saifidi, Thompson and Croker v. Pakes, Hetherington, Flegler and Palacio, I'm going the Bronx.
Yep, fair enough.
West Tigers, Bulldogs. It seems unfair that the West Tigers are 15th. I feel like they don't deserve to be there, but this is 15th v 16th.
I just don't know. I don't see how the Dogs can win this game. I don't see how they can win nearly another game. What's gone on? But the history will tell you that the club that's coached usually gets sacked. They usually come out the next week and win, but I don't think so. Look, the irony of this game, and I'll make it, this is not a bold prediction, but it's a prediction that Brent Naden scored the winning try for the Tigers. That's how bad the poor doggies have been of late.
Brent Naden, who I'm just having a look on the team sheets here.
Extended bench, I think.
He's in the extended bench, but his logo still has him in the Dogs uniform, which is brilliant. I love that Brent Naden prediction. I think it's fantastic. Get him in the side. Let him score the winner. Second Friday night game, Eels taking on the Seagulls, Combank Stadium. Manly would have probably just finished licking their wounds after the loss to the Broncos at Magic Round?
Well, the Eels are licking theirs as well because they can't seem to put two good performances together. After the Panthers win the week before, we were watching Parramatta. We were saying, okay, this is the game they've got to show that they're contenders for the competition by putting two games together against the Roosters who have been struggling, but they didn't. And this week they will, but they'll come back this week and they'll do it. They'll do a job on Manly and everyone will say they're back. And then the following week they'll probably get beat again. So until they can get... consistency in their game, the Parramatta Eels. I don't think I can say that they're going to win the comp, but I can say they're going to be nuisance value. And they're going to be, I think they're going to be too strong for Manly on Friday night.
Yeah, I think so. I think you get a big game out of those Eels halves, Brown and Moses. I think they'll be back to their best. Dragons Warriors. This one's Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, Netstrata Jubilee Stadium.
Sloan dropped again.
Tough.
Young Sloan.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't. He must not know with his Arthur or Caratha in WA, because he has just been pushed to pillow and post, this kid. And he won't get any consistency
out
of him.
Did you say to pillow?
Yeah.
Did you say pillow. He's been pushed to pillow and post?
Pillar and post.
Yeah.
P-I-L-L-A-R. Yeah. And you're not going to get consistency out of him by mucking around with his mindset.
No.
Look,
he did drop a lot of ball in that loss against the Titans, but it was a bar of soap. Everyone was dropping the thing.
Every game he seems to play in, it's pouring rain. He's itching for a dry track, and he'll probably get one this weekend against the Warriors, and I think the Dragons will win.
All right. Yeah, I like the Dragons as well, and I think that the Warriors, I still get flashbacks to that Golden Point win over the Raiders at Redcliffe, and it's hard to tip them, even though they won that game. This is match of the round. Saturday, 5:30, Cowboys Storm in Townsville. This is a mouthwater.
Massive out for the Storm is Nelson. Massive out. And this is my bold prediction, that the Cowboys will unbelievably win 6 games in a row, and they will join the Melbourne Storm in second position on the ladder.
I am literally typing in to Google, when did the Storm last lose two games on the trot? Or at the very least, last put in 2 poor performances.
Well,
on
Google
the
can
trot.
Tell you that. We're out of a job if Google can tell you that. Two bad performances.
Storm must fix handling woes to avoid rare straight third loss. Look, they lost 2 in a row back in 2018. I might get producer Charlie potentially if he can have a bit more of a look. But I was talking about this with Liesl Jones and Dobbo the other day in the studio ahead of our show, Rush Hour with Liesl M and Dobbo. They don't go bad back-to-back. Like, after the performance they put in against the Panthers, especially against another top 4 side at the moment,
I think he was almost ready to concede that game. You know, and I think the rationale I have about saying that is putting young Wishart at fullback.
Mm.
When you had Nick Meaney, who's on the wing, plays fullback for whoever he's playing for.
Are you calling it a scheduled loss, maybe?
Well, you know, Hughes, he didn't play.
Well, he's back in this week.
He's back in this week. And I just think this Cowboys team, I don't think they're going to win the comp, and they might not even make the top 4. But the youthful exuberance they show, and what we're finding out week after week is what they got put through in the off-season by Todd Payton. Well, they're justifying it on the field. Everyone's playing their role, and they're a real joy to watch. So Cowboys, for mine, 6 in a row.
Producer Charlie?
Storm lost 2 games in 2021, so last year in rounds 2 and 3 against Penrith and Parramatta, though. So okay. 2 good teams.
Takes the air out of my tyres a little bit, but that's all right. very nice. Okay. I've just said that was game of the round, and then we get to Saturday night, and you've got first v fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
Roosters v Panthers.
Yeah, at the SCG as well. If this was at Bluebet Stadium, I'd say Penrith would have won convincingly.
By how many?
I'm not saying now they're not winning convincingly. I'm saying this is going to be a dogfight up because they won so easily last week. Sometimes complacency can come into the psyche without you even knowing it's there. Against the Roosters team, who have been struggling for most of the year without Victor Radley, sometimes it can grab you. But Penrith will win. They'll win by maybe 6 points.
I think Lindsay Collins is such a big in for this Roosters.
Massive
side.
In. And be suspended. He hasn't been injured, which is another one. He's been suspended. And usually when you come back from suspension, you are itching.
And he's a bloke who'll want to show Billy Slater that he's ready to go as well. I think at his best, he is in that Queensland team, and he'll want to show Billy that he's, with a shortened run-up to game one, he's ready. Right, then we get into Sunday's games. You got the Bunnies taking on the Raiders. Interest. I mean, Jacob Post, you feel for him. Jeez, that injury looks painful.
In Dubbo.
Dubbo, Apex Oval.
Yeah, I'm tipping a Raiders victory.
I like the Raiders here as well.
I think they've turned the corner. And South, 32-6 up against the Warriors, and they put on 24 points in the last 20 minutes, the Warriors against South. So I'm not convinced with South yet, but I think the Raiders might get them.
Look, we saw Cody Walker really step into the role as captain
in
Magic Round, but can he step and stay there? It's, you know, we know he's an ebb and flow roller coaster type player, and when he's at his best, he's almost unplayable. But then he can fall away, and he still doesn't have Adam Reynolds there alongside him, and Cam Murray's not there, and there's going to be a lot resting on the shoulders of Cody Walker. If the Bunnies can get the result, Cody Walker will have had a blinder, I think. But I like the Raiders in this one as well, MJ. And then the last game of the round, Titans Sharks. I'll tell you right now, this is my bold prediction: Titans go back to back, they win again here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, I think the loss of Ramey and Will Kennedy for Sharks is profound. They showed it last week. Kennedy is such a vital cog in the arsenal that a Sharks backline has. And Ramian's stature, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's tough. They're not there for another week or two. So I think with Jaden Campbell back, I think Titans will get him.
And Finucane out as well, obviously, who we mentioned that. Lachlan Miller. Lachlan Miller will be making his debut at fullback.
Lachie Miller, yeah. Lachie Miller's an Australian rep for the Sevens, and
yes,
he'll be making his first grade debut for the Sharkies, so we wish him all the luck.
We do wish him all the luck. You know what else I wish for? These rugby Sevens players, when they find open space, it's entertaining. I'd like to see him get some open space and a foot race between him and Jaden Campbell. I'd just like to see it. I think it'd be electric.
I'd like to see that.
But I think Titans win. They go back-to-back and the climb begins and they become the top four-bound Titans once more. Very nice work, MG. Look, we're getting closer to Origin. We might have to really kind of... Hey, Charlie, can we have guests on this podcast?
Of course. We can do whatever we want.
I think we
need Freddie on.
Yes. Next week.
Yep. Freddie and then
can
Billy
Slater. Can we
sort
Freddie?
Freddie and Billy Slater.
Why don't we have the Rush Hour with MG Roundtable? Billy and Freddie on.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we'll nut it out. We'll beat all those other media outlets to it.
It's not the Rush Hour anymore. Remember that.
What did I just call it?
The Rush Hour. With the Rugby League Rundown, baby.
It's the Rugby League Rundown.
Let's have we should call it Rubdown, I reckon. Better than the Rundown.
The Rubdown.
let's get on the bench, get a Rubdown from there.
The Rugby League Rubdown. Jeez, how did we miss that? It was right there. All right. Hey, enjoy your weekend of football, Charles, MG, and we'll see you next week.
See you, boys. Have fun.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.